Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident or client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we want to hear from our listeners. Our call-in line is 929-477-1393. And I remind you, our first two callers today, anytime during the show with a question, comment, or a point they'd like to raise, anything on dementia, Alzheimer's, aging in place, whatever it might be, we want to hear from you. Again, the call-in line, 929-477-1393, and you will receive a free copy of Laura Wayman's A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with a Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, published by Johns Hopkins University. Her brand new edition is coming out very soon. Very excited to share that and to introduce the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Good morning, Scott. It's always so good to hear your voice. That was, all, as always, a wonderful introduction. I am glowing. So I want you to take a minute, because I'm always so honored to have you as my co-host. I want you to take a minute and tell our listeners all about you. You are such a radio professional and personality, and I really want them to hear about you. So just take a minute and talk about you, Scott.
Thank you. You're very kind, Laura, to spend that time on me every show. But I didn't start off in radio, although I was participating in community radio here in Houston a long time ago, back in the 70s. I actually started out as a publisher of a small newspaper here called Telescope, focused on alternative health, and now it's called Complementary, of course, and other aspects of spiritual development, personal development, health, and so on. And what's interesting is the circle of life, how it brings around, and I've never forgot this, although oftentimes I forget in the moment, that what we learn, what we do, wherever we are, always do the best you can, facilitate and participate and congratulate, because those skills, those things you learn, those things that open up with aha moments, you don't know how, but somehow they're going to come around and support you again later. So I just finished an application to a major organic company that creates supplements, all organic. They raise their own, they package their own, and they market their own. So I was flattered for them to ask me to apply for their position as a senior copywriter. Ha ha, after all those decades of live on the air working with Deepak Chopra and Dr. Andrew Weil and so on. So we'll see what comes of that, but I thought that was very interesting. Just a timely reminder to Scott Cluthy to pay attention and to do and be here now.
It's so true, isn't it, Scott? Because you never know what's going down the road and what you're going to be dragging from behind. So
exactly.
It's always a good thing. It's always a good thing to know we're all at a certain place at a certain time in just the right moment. So I want to tell our dear listening audience, we want you to know you're not alone. Often when you're dealing with a loved one with dementia, you do feel alone and isolated. And if you have worries or concerns or anxieties, we want you to call in. We can give you advice, inspiration, and encouragement on your dementia journey. You've certainly tuned into the right place. So stay with us this hour. We'll be taking your calls and talking about the newest information about dementia. And our topic today is, we are broadcasting live on the road from the Woodmark at Sun City. Now, the Woodmark provides all kinds of different care. We have independent living here. We have assisted living. We have memory care. And I'm going to introduce some of the members that I am joined here by the leadership team at the Woodmark. And also, we also have another special guest. So I'm going to turn this over to Jennifer Eldridge, who is the sales director here at the Woodmark. And she's going to talk about her position. She's going to talk about Woodmark. And she's also going to introduce the other members of the leadership team that we have here. And I am very excited because I've had the opportunity to come here and actually do my very special practitioner leadership training, my master class, and we're going to talk a little bit about that too and how it has certainly brought great benefits to the Woodmark. But let me introduce Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Hey, thanks for coming. It's been really fun. We had you here about a year and a half ago and learned a lot at that point, and it's been great having you again, having a refresher course, plus learning a little bit more. I must have dementia, too, because I forgot half the things you taught me the first time, but I'm starting to remember, so I appreciate that. You know, it's been really good to do that and use it here at the Woodmark.
And Jennifer's such a great mentor for all of us women because she's a working mom. She has two little children. She comes to work and works very long hours here at the Woodmark and takes care of her family all at the same time. You work hard, don't you, Jennifer?
I try. I don't know, but I try. So it's fun. It's rewarding, though.
So tell us a little bit about what you do here at the Woodmark.
So I have been the director of sales at the Woodmark here for just over 2 years. And like you said, the Woodmark offers independent living, assisted living, and then we have two types of memory care. We have a memory assistance program. So that's for those that are in the beginning stages of memory loss, those that can still do quite a bit for themselves. I call it the pleasantly confused. I probably belong up there as well in that area. So, yeah, I've already picked out my apartment. But really wonderful folks. So they're the ones, again, that can do a lot for themselves but just have a little bit of confusion in the beginning stages. And then we have our full memory care unit, and that's for those that are in the more advanced stages. And it's a beautiful community called the SPA. SPA stands for Specialized Personal Attention, so they do get a lot of that one-on-one care that's needed at that point in their lives. Here at the Woodmark, we do have a lot of longevity with our staff. A lot of them have been here for a long time, some of them for 10-plus years. So it's a wonderful community here in Sun City. We have about 137 apartments, and so we're able to service quite a few of these wonderful seniors and help them through their stages. And just been wonderful, like I said, having you here and helping us, you know, sharpen our tools and be able to know more about dementia and how we can help these loved ones, how we can help the families. They do trust us, and we are, you know, in the area, we do a good job when it comes to it, but it's also nice to know what, you know, you learn something new every day in trying to find out new ways that we can advance their care and help them.
And I always have such a great time when I'm here because Jennifer it has this really special relationship with her residents. And tell our listeners a little bit about how you got into this because it makes your communication skills and your relationship building so wonderful with our elderly population.
So my dear mom is a registered nurse up in Idaho and has been one since before I was born. And it was back in the day when they didn't have all the rules and regulations that they have now. So she actually took me to work with her. She didn't have to do daycare or anything. I just, like, walked in the hallways, and the old people would watch me and take care of me while my mom was passing pills and doing whatever she needed to do. So I've always had a love for the older people. They're really fun to be around. They have wonderful stories. They've been through a lot. And I just think that they deserve the care and love that they need. And so I've always had an interest, because of my mom, had an interest in working in this field. I moved down here to Arizona. I was working for a hospice organization and then got into senior living and actually worked with Sandy for a couple of years at a different community. And she's just wonderful. She's great. And she got me in touch with Rob, who's in the room with us too, and been working with Rob for 2 years. And just learned a lot from both of their management styles, and they also have a great love for the seniors. They're a little bit older than me, so they're not far away.
Yes, I have to tell you, Jennifer's very young, but she's so good at what she does, and I just really wanted her to share that with our listeners, because that's so much more important. You know, I can come and teach techniques and tools and how to better communicate with those with dementia, but indeed, it always just shines through when someone has a true heart about working with the elderly and this very special population. And it does show through. That's why Jennifer's so good at her job and why the Woodmark is such a wonderful place to come. Her relationship and the relationship that this leadership team has with their residents and the family members, because it's not just renting a room, and we're going to talk about that. It's all about the care that you give and the care that you actually partake and impart in to the family members as well. We all become one big member of the family, and however dysfunctional we all are, it just seems to all work. And so I always like to have just a little personal story, because it's not just the Woodmark, it's the people who work here as well. And so, Jennifer, would you like to introduce Rob and what he does, and then let's hear a little bit about Rob's story.
Definitely. So Rob is our executive director here at the Woodmark, and he's a guy from North Dakota, and has been down here in Arizona for several years, and he does a great job. He definitely works the operational side here at the Woodmark, helps us on the sales side, as well as he's been in the business for a long time, for over 25 years, and so he's got a really good knowledge on how to help the residents and the family members. He himself has a mom that he helped find a community last year, and so he knows how it is to help people that you love and want to be there for, and is just a great leader for us here at the Woodmark, and it's really cool to work with him. We give each other a little bit of teasing here and there, as you can tell, but it does. We have a really good team, and Rob's the one at the head of it that really does help us on a daily basis. So,
hi, Rob. Welcome.
How much do I owe you for that?
Shoot. We're so glad that you're here with us today, Robin. And I was so excited that I got to come spend some more time with you, because you really are very special. And so tell us a little bit about how you got into this business.
Well, as Jen said, I've been working with the senior population for 25 plus years. I've worked plus, never mind, Ms. D'Angelo. And I started in the hospital setting, actually, working with the home health and hospice program, and then got into this wonderful assisted living business. And also, like Jen said, I started in North Dakota, cold country, so I'm used to traveling into rural areas and helping smaller communities. But I love Arizona, and we have a lot of competition here in this area. It's a very well-populated with different communities within a five-mile radius of us. So we have to be sharp, and we have to be best on our game in order to compete. And bringing Laura in just helps us sharpen our skills and again become dementia aware. And that's our goal, is not just for our memory care areas, but also our assisted living areas. We've talked about doing training for our EMTs that come into our building, our physical therapists that come into our building. And Laura's been a great help in just giving us a good foundation that is, I feel, everybody can relate to, because you can use it with your family, you can use it with your residents. It's a good foundation, and I think it's not too complicated. And sometimes we want to get too complicated when we start training our staff or training family members, and taking a step back and really getting back to the basics. Laura has helped us out immensely, so thank you for that, Laura.
You are welcome, Robin. I deem you a general in the Dementia Whispers Army now.
An old general.
Yes.
The age thing. I don't know.
I don't know. We keep throwing that around. Okay, Rob, and could you introduce Sandy and just let her talk a little bit about Sandy, our other esteemed guest today.
Surprise guest.
Yeah. Yes, surprise guest.
Well, Sandy D'Angelo is executive director at Heritage Tradition, which is a beautiful community in Sun City West, and they provide independent living and assisted living. She is a little older than I am, I believe, but she really is a sharp gal. no, seriously, Sandy has a beautiful community, and she's obviously here looking for education and information on how she can best serve her residents and her families. And again, it's not just memory care. We see the levels of dementia in all areas of care, including independent and assisted living. And just being a good resource for her families, I think, is huge. Jen brought up that I have a 93-year-old mother, and I placed her in a assisted living community last March, actually. And I think Sandy also is caring for a mother-in-law that is aging. So I think we can relate to our customers, so to speak, and we want the best for them. So I'll let Sandy talk a little bit.
Hi, Sandy. Hi, Laura. The reason I'm here is that I've heard nothing but wonderful things about you program for the last year and a half, and I don't want to be left behind. And as Rob mentioned, my community it's mostly independent. I have 304 apartments, and only 41 of those are dedicated for assisted living. But as everyone knows, dementia is not limited to just memory care. And the purpose is I'm here to learn and to expand our program at the Heritage.
And it's absolutely necessary because 50% of those over the age of 70 have some cause of dementia at varying levels, and they indeed either live in their own home, live in an independent community like yours, need assisted living and move there, and eventually need memory care. And on that dementia journey, we need to help them at the different levels, and so we need all of our staff everywhere, mm-hmm. all the whole community, the entire world, to be dementia aware so that we can indeed help them, because you have to change your perspective and transform your care perspective in order to properly communicate with anybody at any level of dementia, and we need to come where they meet them at their level. So we have to be fluid and flexible. So that's part of what I will bring to the community. Yes, Scott.
We may have a
Go
caller.
Ahead.
I want to find out or if they're just listening or if they want to join us on the air from a 713 area code, 494.
Okay.
Hi, caller. Did you
good,
want to be
good.
On the air? Have a question?
Just listening. Thank you.
Okay, I'll put you back
okay.
in the listening queue. All right, thank you.
They're listening. Okay, well, welcome. We're so glad that you're listening. And if you have any questions, Scott, you want to explain the chat room? Maybe they would like to just run
yes.
a question through the chat.
Yes, there's a chat box on the website. And forgive me, I'll open it up right away. I forgot to. But you can put a question or comment there as well. And if you do, we'll honor that call-in question for a free copy of Laura's book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, from Johns Hopkins University, authored by Laura Wayman, her new version coming out very shortly. And I'll open up the chat box. If you put your question or comment in there, I will share it on the air, and we will get a free copy of the book to you. So I'm going to do that right now.
Oh, perfect. Okay. And Sandy, sorry we interrupted you, mm-hmm. but would you tell us a little bit about your community? And how did you get into this business?
Well, back in the gray days, Jen, before there was color TV, it's kind of a strange thing. Rob and I have talked about this many times. I think very rarely does someone actually think about this as a career. It's something that you actually fall into. And about a million years ago, I kind of fell into it. I started off in the finance world, and I was working in a hospital. Next thing you know, I was partnering up with some folks from Wall Street to help an assisted living in Florida go public. And that was my first real experience in senior housing and working with seniors. And from then on, it was all I wanted to do. It's not about making money, because this is not the most lucrative career, but it is absolutely the most rewarding thing I could ever think of doing.
Absolutely. Every single day you make a difference in someone's life.
That's the goal.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's a little bit painful because it's we're making a difference at the end of their life, mm-hmm. but wouldn't we all want to be that last smiling face that they see and help them at the very end as well? And we deal with that. That's difficult. And I was thinking about perhaps even having a radio show about grief, and especially grief when it comes to losing our elders. So I know we all face that all the time, and it can we all need support with that as mm-hmm. well. So Sandy, it's such a pleasure to have you here because I always get so excited when I get to share my dementia awareness. So we're gonna go back to Jennifer, and we're gonna talk about we did this great 8-hour class that I'm gonna bring to you as well, Sandy. But yesterday we did 8-hour class with all the leadership, so. Jennifer, can you kind of summarize what that was like, what you feel was the most important things that you learned? And then today we're going to share that information with all staff, so I'm excited to talk about that as well.
Well, one thing that I like on the presentation that you give for us, Laura, is you make it real. You know, I've participated in a lot of trainings where they talk more about the clinical side of dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, more like what's going on there in their brain. But you make it real. One of my favorite is the way that you explain how your mind is like a block of cheese, and you have this little mouse wreaking havoc, and that mouse might be any kind of dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever it is. And so that's what it's like, is that, you know, you have lucid moments and then you have not lucid moments. And that just paints a picture a lot easier than talking about synapses and plaques and brains and things like that. Especially for a little Idaho girl, it makes it a lot more everyday common for me to understand.
Yeah, so a normal brain is like a solid block of cheese. And then if someone has the unfortunate incident where they get one of these causes of loss of normal brain function, and they get that little dirty rat in their cheese, like Alzheimer's or one of the other 100 different causes, it makes their brain, that cheese, look like Swiss cheese. And so they go to access normal brain function. It's a roll of the dice whether they're going to hit cheese or a hole. They hit that hole, and we see these dementia symptoms. And I talk about how that's permanent and progressive, and we can't stop it, fix it, or change it. We have to learn as caregivers to learn to manage it. So what do our caregivers always want to do?
Fix it.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And the more they try and do that, the worse it makes it. We actually had a discussion with a family member a little while back, Jennifer and I, and the family member was trying desperately to force their loved one to access that cheese, and there's a hole there, which makes that person very agitated and anxious. And so it's a matter of helping the family members. You know, let's talk a little bit about why do we want the family members to know this too? What kinds of challenges do we have if the family members are not dementia aware?
Yeah, and that's it. You know, it's a whole team approach. Like you said, you know, it's something that we in the sales department need to know about so that we can educate those families. And then when we pass the baton on to, like, Rob and Sandy, the executive directors, they run with it. The care staff, the dining staff, the activities, educating the families. Like you say, just as a whole team, everyone needs to know on how to help that person through their journey. And not to correct or fix, even though that's hard because we all love to fix things. We all like to make things better and easier. But just getting into their world and helping them through that journey and us becoming more knowledgeable about what's going on and, you know, put it in everyday terms for us too.
Well, and I believe that when the family members have education and knowledge, it just helps them cope. They feel less stressful. They feel more in control, because that's when you first get the news that mom is going down the dementia road. I think that fear and that anxiety level is so high. And then my experience is that they want to continually bring mom back to, remember, mom, today is Monday. Remember, we're going shopping. Remember, because they think
Post-its
if they keep reiterating it, that mom will hold on to that. And unfortunately, with Laura's education, that we'll be able to explain the cheese and the holes in the cheese and how that That isn't necessarily the case. And I think most families are more comfortable just understanding it. It's not that they know it's coming, but if we give them the knowledge, I think it's a little easier to take.
We give them realistic expectations,
yeah.
And they come to us completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
And they bring their loved ones to us thinking we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
And so to educate them that we can't, but we can help them manage it, that we can come alongside them and provide. I always like to tell the family, it's okay, the cavalry is here. We've arrived. We are that village that needs to help you with your loved one, because they are shocked at that diagnosis. And often they're very unaware. They don't even know what that means. And they can be having to help their loved one and manage this and care for them anywhere from 2 to 20 years, because the progression can be very slow. Or it can be very fast. Everybody's different. I always like to say, if we know one person with dementia, we only know one person with dementia. We have to customize our training program to every single individual. And that's hard in a community, because we only have so much care staff, but we have to train them that they need to always individualize their care approach with every single person. We can't do cookie cutter care, which would certainly be easier, wouldn't it?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we can't do that. And so the dementia aware communities, I really want our listeners to hear this. Those dementia-aware communities understand that. And when you walk into a community and you need help with your loved one with dementia, you need to ask that question. Are you dementia-aware? Do you understand that my loved one has to have customized care? Do you understand that? Because the cookie-cutter care, I get calls all the time. I know you all get calls all the time from family members who have placed their loved one somewhere that's not dementia-aware, even though they say that their staff is trained. They are not trained in this very special, unique way, and it doesn't work. And they have to move their loved ones.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to put them through that transition trauma if we don't have to. We want to help them all along the journey, no matter where they are. And so I always like to point out to our listeners the importance. I know that I often am talking about these teams of dementia-aware professionals and how important it is, but I want them to hear it from you, that this is what differentiates you from that competition, because you know you can do it better. You know you can. You've proven it. I've proven it as I travel across the United States. I am often shocked when I walk in someplace and they say, oh, yeah, we're dementia trained. We don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can that be? Because I learn something new every day. How can you have it? No, enough. You can't.
And I think there are a lot of programs out there. You know, every company seems to have their canned program of how they market their dementia program. But I think it's just the idea of dementia awareness is a different than a program.
Yes.
It's an education and a knowledge and an application.
Yes.
And I think that's what will make us different also.
And it's my program is actually enhancing whatever programs there are, because I'm not saying there are not wonderful dementia programs out there. There are.
Mm-hmm.
But what mine can do is come in and enhance that and make it even better.
Right.
And so that's what I get excited about when I come here and I see those light bulbs going off in the staff, and they're going, oh, that's why this doesn't work, or oh, that's why I'm struggling. And you know, Jennifer and I talked about a challenge, and when we come back from the break, maybe we'll talk about a challenge of one of the residents. And you know, I'm available for you all to call me or email me, and we can get on the phone and brainstorm, because it takes a village for us to properly care for those with dementia. So we're going to come back with the wonderful leadership team at the Woodmark and Heritage. We're going to come back here in just a minute, and we're going to talk more about that and the importance of dementia awareness. And Scott, if you could take us off into the break, we'll take a little breather. And I want our listener to know we're so glad that they are listening, and we will get them a book for calling in and listening. So we'll be right back.
Very good. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. Laura Wayman, our guest today, Rob Kondos, the executive director, Jennifer Eldridge, the sales director, both with the Woodmark at Sun City. Also joining us from another facility, Sandy D'Angelo, who works with the Heritage Tradition, all live today here on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in line is 929-477-1393. And this is the voice of Scott Cluthie, co-host. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for taking
me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums. 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back live on Live with the Dementia Whisperer, co-host and producer Scott Cluthie. It's great to have you out there. I remind you, our call-in line, we'd love to give away a couple copies of Laura's book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. We know so many of you listen to the show in archives later, and that's great, too. The call-in line, 929-477-1393. You can also go to the chat box, enter a question or comment there, and I'll communicate with you, and I'll give that question to Laura and our great guest today. And we will get a copy of the book out to you. Just to remind you, today we are live at the Woodmark at Sun City with Rob Kondos, the executive director, Jennifer Eldridge, the sales director, also joining us Sandy D'Angelo from the Heritage Tradition, and of course, this is Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Laura?
Hey, Scott, thank you so much. We're having too good of a time here, I'll tell you what. We were laughing, just having a great time. But we're going to get back to business here and talk about some of the things that the Dementia Whisperer can do when I come and do a training and provide you with all-inclusive training with and absolutely transform your dementia care perspective. What I want to do is talk about some challenges that we talked about yesterday. Of course, we will mention no names. We're just going to talk about Mr. Resident or Mrs. Resident. And we're going to talk about some perspectives, kind of throw some ideas around about how we can manage these dementia symptoms that can be very challenging at times, especially in a community, and how we can help train the staff to manage it. So we're going to have a little brainstorming session with maybe some challenges here so that our listeners can start to understand how this transformed care approach is so helpful. So, Jennifer, you want to talk a little bit about some of these challenges that we talked about yesterday?
Yeah. So one that we went back and forth about yesterday and talked about is Mr. Resident, like you say, is very grabby. Bless his heart.
With a female caregiver.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, he's feeling a bit frisky.
He's frisky, and good for him, and he's more than welcome to. We got some really cute and fun caregivers here, and they are nothing but loving and caring and want to help out. But Mr. Resident doesn't quite understand where the line is. You know,
his inhibitions are all gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so we wanted to find out what the best way to be able to help Mr. Resident, and also to protect our staff as
Absolutely.
Well.
And so the staff came to you, and what did they say?
They said they were concerned. They said, you know what, we want to help him, but we don't feel comfortable, and we don't know what to do, and is this really appropriate, and we don't feel like we should have to take care of this kind of thing. I mean, they want to, but they also, you know, they got to keep themselves safe.
Because they want it to stop, and they want to fix it and change it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because with someone with a normal brain, we would be able to reason with them. We would be able to talk with them, help them to understand that that's not appropriate. But we can't do that with someone with dementia. So let's talk a little bit about some of our strategies. So, Jennifer, there are some strategies that you're going to impart to your caregivers. What are some of those strategies that we learned about yesterday?
So some of them are just where you stand. You're not going to want to stand really within arm's reach or right next to where they have the opportunity to take advantage of the situation, if that's the way you can say it on the radio. you know, we want to make sure that we're facing them forward and not standing by their side where it's easy for them to reach around and grab what they can grab. Another one that you mentioned was holding their hands as we're doing those daily cares, because some of our residents we have to help with showers or getting dressed for the day, things like that. So holding their hands, keeping their hands busy while you're doing that task of showering. I know, exactly.
The light just went off.
and sometimes, so basically we have to stay out of their bubble, out of arm's reach, if we can't control their hands. If we need to get in their bubble, we need to control their hands, either by holding both of their hands, and we can hold them in a very affectionate way so that they are getting that touch that they're craving, but we're going to hold both of their hands at all times so that we are controlling that. Or we can give them something to hold. I've tried this before, too, where we give them a teddy bear. We give them something so that at least one of their hands is busy. Could you hold this for me? And if it's big enough, like a big body pillow or a big teddy bear or something like that, where they have to use both of their hands, it's such a great advantage because you're keeping their hands busy. But some soft plush toy also is giving them that touch that they're craving. They're holding, they're hugging. So you can still give them that physical need that they're asking for, that they don't understand that line that we've all drawn in society, of course, that we need to help our caregivers with. We give them something appropriate that they can basically touch. So those are all things that work. If that doesn't work, what are we going to do? We're going to back up and figure out something else. We're going to brainstorm. Especially, I talked a little bit about yesterday, if it's dining staff that often when a elderly gentleman with dementia begins to feel a little frisky and the dining staff comes and serves them, you know, you have to be careful not to put your body within arm's reach when you're serving. So serve from across the table. And that way you can have a nice, engaging conversation because you're looking at them, but the table is a wonderful buffer. Utilize a table or chairs so that you are still able to communicate with them, but you're providing that safety bubble because we can't stop it, fix it, or change it as much as we want to. I have had communities that have called me and said, oh, well, this gentleman, he was very inappropriate, and so we're going to have to ask him to leave. And what a shame, because we're going to see these dementia challenges as they lose more and more normal brain function. This is memory care. This is dementia care. And so we don't want them to be punished for having the exact dementia symptoms that they're going to have because physically they're losing that normal brain function. And we can't stop that from happening. So we simply need to learn how to
to manage that. And that's going to happen, Sandy, in independent too, isn't it?
Oh, it does. It does.
Absolutely. And so all of your staff needs to be prepared, even though you might get some resistance because your staff says, no, I don't want to work in memory care. You're going to say, well, guess what? You're working in any kind of senior care.
It's memory care.
It's memory care. Mm-hmm. It's just not specific.
Exactly.
But we all have to be dementia aware. Absolutely.
Well, and I think another aspect of this issue that I get involved in is when family members come to me and say, my dad has never done that before. This is totally not his personality. I'm appalled. And then, again, we have to help educate that family on this isn't necessarily the dad that you know. This is the dementia, the symptoms that are causing these behaviors, and go into some education role to leave their stress. It's very stressful on a daughter or a son to deal with sexual issues.
Absolutely. And it's so uncomfortable, but if we think back to the fact that we train our toddlers, our children, we train them in the normal brain function of inhibitions. They don't come with that. They don't come with that naturally. We train it. And we have to believe that when someone is losing normal brain function, and one of our residents is losing normal brain function, that's some of the normal brain function that they're actually losing. The dementia robs them of that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not quite so cute as when a young child makes an inappropriate comment because they haven't learned about the inhibitions when it comes to our human sexuality, and we teach them that. It's not quite so cute when an older gentleman does it, but we have to understand it's exactly the same thing. So if we transform our dementia perspective, we can learn how to help them with that. It's okay. They just have lost that inhibition, and so we just help them. We become the inhibitions for them. We think for them because, once again, with dementia, their thinker is broken. A good dementia-aware caregiver thinks for them and fills in those gaps with all of that lost normal brain function. That's exactly
Laura?
What happens. And yes.
Yeah,
go
I just
ahead,
wanted
Scott.
To know, is there a specific module you've created, or is that maybe a module that could be created for the caregivers and the facilities, because you can't be everywhere all the time, to be able to educate family members after they're placed in a facility on sort of the do's and don'ts bullet points, and also don't be offended by or realize as sort of printed or verbal or visual information that could be given to them? I think that'd be really valuable before they start to interact again, because now they've been moved to a new facility. They have new concerns about everything. They have concerns about the facility. They have concerns about their loved one. And they have concerns about their interaction and the interaction in the past that caused them a lot of grief, let's face it, or angst, or sometimes anger. Just before they start to interact again.
Absolutely, Scott. What I've developed and what we're doing here is that part of my training is more or less what I like to call a mandatory training for the family members. So, you know, we talked about this, Rob. Would you like to share what the way that we're laying this out? Because Scott is absolutely correct, and we talked about how the family members need to be trained as well.
Right, and I think the light bulb went off for us yesterday. We, you know, we're training our employees and talking about when we bring on new employees that we need to train them, but we also need to train our new family members. And doing a orientation, so to speak, an educational session for all family members when they move a resident into our community will, I think it just sets a good foundation for the future communication and understanding of the path that we're all going down together. So that's what we're hoping to implement is an orientation for family members where we can discuss some of these issues that may or may not happen, so that we can take that fear and that anxiety away.
Even if they are
Rob.
Not, yeah, I think it's really, really important. So I'm leaving all that material for them to implement that. But even and I kind of want to bring Sandy into this discussion, even your independent families, you know, they bring their loved one and they have no idea because so many people don't even recognize dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they bring their loved one to you, and you, because you're in this business, observe that they indeed have some mild dementia going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's just not for the family, but it could be for a spouse who is the main caregiver.
Yes.
So it's beneficial all around.
Absolutely. And you do have those family members that are so embarrassed because they say, well, Dad never did that before.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put Dad through that transition trauma, move him, and even though the dementia was already rearing its ugly head, it's going to show more when we move them and they experience transition trauma. So it looks like their dementia gets worse. It's not that it gets worse. It's that we're seeing really how bad it was because
right.
we're
it's
stressing
aggravated.
Them.
Yeah.
It's aggravating it. And so the family goes, well, you know, Dad wasn't like that before I moved him. And you go, well, yes, he was. Let me make you dementia aware. We're just seeing how it was. And so good thing you're moving him now because it was only going to get worse.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So we don't want to wait for that crisis. We want to know and educate those families so that they can catch it earlier. It helps us all. And then it is like gold to have dementia-aware families. It is so great because then we're not trying to catch up when we're making decisions that they don't understand
mm-hmm.
because they're in dementia denial.
We're not in a crisis mode.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's so helpful. So I'm sure that we all see this. I know I even it's amazing to me how widespread this is because I'll go to the department store just like I'll go to Macy's and I love fragrance. That's my thing. I love to go in the fragrance section and try all the new fragrances and talk about what's in them and I can spend hours in there and I was just there a few weeks ago. At another location, and in the evening, I just kind of went for therapy. I went to Macy's in the fragrance department, and this wonderful young clerk was there, and she was talking to me, and it's really deadly because always someone will say, well, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I'm the dementia whisperer,
yeah.
And I know what's going to happen because, sure enough, she said, well, what is that? And I said, well, I train, inspire, and encourage anyone, professional and family caregivers, who are dealing with a loved one, client, or resident who has some cause of dementia. And she started to cry. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. How can I help you? And she said, my mom was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And she just wept. She just fell in my arms and just wept. And I said, I can help you. And I ran out to my car and I got a book. And I mean, it happens all the time. I was just telling Jennifer that Steve and I, my husband and I, just bought a new house. And there was quite a bit of activity at this bidding on this house because it was just a great price and it was exactly what we wanted. And we happened to go over to the new house and the owner was there. The owner at the time, and it's a single woman, and she asked me what I did, and I said, well, why are you moving? And she said, well, I'm moving to a different state because my mom is caring for my dad who has Alzheimer's, and I need to go help her. And she said, I'm so glad you walked in, and I need you, and I ran out to the car and got a book, and she said, well, I want you guys to buy the house because you'll love it. And this was such a serendipitous meeting. And I mean, it happens all the time. So it's not just those that come here for our help that already know that they need mm-hmm. memory care. Because in order to understand dementia, you have to become dementia aware. And your loved one may be showing a lot of common dementia symptoms that you don't understand are dementia symptoms. Often people think that there's one common dementia symptom that you have to have in order to have dementia symptoms. And what is that? What does everybody say?
Memory loss.
And so it's such an eye-opener when I train folks that memory loss indeed is a very common dementia symptom, but it's not always present. There are different causes of loss of normal brain function and dementia symptoms that never affect memory. And as a matter of fact, one of the dementia symptoms that we are challenged with in the senior care profession and families as well is one of the most common dementia symptoms is their loss of ability to access coordination, and so they fall. coordination and balance, and they fall. And so falling is a huge dementia symptom. And we all know the answer to this because we're dementia aware, but can we stop or prevent someone from falling if they have dementia?
No.
What can we do?
Manage it.
Manage it. We can help reduce their number of falls. And we do that by all kinds of different ways. But it's not just handing them a walker, is it? No. Those are all the kinds of presentations and approaches and tips and techniques that we learn over time as we begin to change the way that we perceive dementia and dementia care. So Rob, I want you to talk a little bit about some of the highlights that you took away from yesterday, some important things that you want to talk about.
Well, one of the highlights is just being able to be able to participate with my management team. Everybody's on board. As Jennifer said earlier, we have some of our department managers have been here since the building opened, which is 16 years ago. And that's kind of unheard of in this industry that there's longevity. And sometimes that's a double-edged sword. We've learned some behaviors that we need to relearn, and that's where I think Laura, I can see us, some of us coming from the old school and the clinical side, always trying to bring it back to that clinical message more than getting in being just dementia aware. And I think that was a highlight for to be able to participate with this team and see that their energy and their commitment is definitely there. And I think that's what it takes is a good team like this to be able to actually make a difference. I'm anxious to see, we saw the response last year, and a lot of our employees came out of Laura's presentation and said, I understand it, I get it. We talked yesterday also about doing ongoing reminders and education because it's easy to slip back into old habits without constant reminders and education, and that's what we're hoping to build here is not just a one-and-done opportunity, but to actually build it into our culture, and I think that's what I'm excited about.
Oh, good, and I saw the light bulbs going off once again in the leadership team, and I learned something new every day, too, and that's why I love my job, because I can see that opening of your mind and really thinking about how can I put this to use. Every one of your leadership team yesterday was going, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And then we even went a little bit deeper, not just with the care staff. We went into dining and activities and how the culture spreads to everything. I had a wonderful opportunity to talk with Tracy, and we're going to spend a little bit of time reworking and refreshing the activity program.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great program. You already have good programs. We're just going to refresh and support and build up all of the programs. And then every time I come, we learn something new. It's so exciting.
Well, and I'm amazed at the interest. It's not just the caregivers. We have maintenance. We have dining services that say, I want to know how to communicate better.
Yes.
You know, because our maintenance employees are in their apartments, they're with them all day long, and the more tools we can give them to better communicate and understand where they're coming from, I think that just makes the whole community, again, dementia aware.
Absolutely.
And I think it makes their job easier. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today at our training session is, you know, it's not just training to be training. This is a great opportunity to provide better care for our residents, but also provide a better, happier environment for our employees.
Yes, yeah, and make them feel more a sense of accomplishment, because it can get pretty dismal when you're constantly trying to communicate with somebody with dementia and you're not successful. And you keep running into the same roadblocks because, you know, you keep doing it the same way,
Yeah. You
get the same results. And it causes extreme burnout. And so I love it when I see that twinkle in that caregiver's eye and they go, hey, this worked. It made my job easier.
Yeah.
And all day long, because the less information we give to those with dementia and overstimulate them, the less overactive and anxious they'll be later. And we won't have that afternoon anxiety fest that often happens.
And I think just the way we communicate, we're a very talkative group, and we chatter a lot, and we don't realize that that's creating behaviors in our residents.
Exactly.
I can be walking by because I'm busy, and I say, "Good morning, Joe, how are you doing?" But I'm really, by the time he processes who walked by me and what did he say?
And how am I supposed to respond?
And what should I do?
Yeah.
You know, we're creating anxiety over what we would feel is a pleasantry or something being nice.
Exactly.
So changing, flipping that around and just understanding how to communicate is going to be a great help.
And changing the way that we ask questions, because we're not going to ask questions like, "How are you today?" What are we going to say instead, Rob?
"You're looking great today, Joe."
Yeah, we're going to think for him. We're going to already have that positive action statement, and he doesn't have to respond to that because
right.
we really don't expect that. We can keep walking, and he's not left with that anxiety. Was I supposed to respond? I think I was supposed to do something. And ironically, even that little change changes the entire environment. I get really excited when I can come for a follow-up. And I walk in, and the entire feeling of the building has changed. Like today, there's even a little bit more energy, just a higher amount of positive energy here just from us spending time with leadership yesterday. And when I go back, when I have the opportunity to go back 2 or 3 weeks later, and the caregivers are running up to me and going, "Oh, I did this, and it worked, and it felt so good," we will see that coming about over the next few months. And then when I come back and I have the opportunity to come back and be with Sandy at Heritage, we'll come over for a visit, and we'll see it's like spreading fertilizer and then watering it. It's just the most wonderful feeling, and I love knowing that these little changes can make such a huge change for the residents and the families and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 days.
Yeah.
Of training, and then I leave this, and I train the trainers, and you continue with this, and it's so wonderful to know, because we all get dragged down with the horrificness of this. I wonder if that's a word, horrificness. I kind of like
you
it.
Made
I
it.
Think
you made
it.
You coined it.
Dementia.
Trademark that one.
Yeah.
The horrificness of dementia and all the devastation that it causes. We need a little light in our
yeah.
lives,
mm-hmm.
don't we? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And speaking of light, Rob and the Woodmark, they have been the light for us at the Heritage, because it's wonderful to have a community that you can trust. What they've done with this program here over the last year and a half has made it so easy for us to refer, as we can no longer care for our residents appropriately. And this is their second home. We market the Woodmark as our memory community.
Absolutely, and that's so nice, because it's a seamless transition, you know. And we here at Woodmark, I know, do the same. If this community is not exactly the right resource, then I know that we send them your way for whatever
Definitely.
Reason. And we should have a world of dementia-aware care providers. Everyone in the world should have this kind of teamwork, because it's necessary. In 3 or 4 years, the numbers are staggering of those that are going to have some cause of dementia. It's going to overwhelm us. And so we need to be ready, and we are those pioneers. I always love the analogy, though, because this is not always easy. This is a bit of a struggle to be pioneers in dementia care, because we are changing a lot of the good old boys kinds of stuff. And we have to know that. How do you recognize a pioneer? By the arrows in their back.
There you go.
So we as dementia-aware pioneers, we have some arrows in our back, but that's okay. We get back up, because we know how important this is. And I am going to surprise you, because we only have just about a minute left. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I think that we truly have made a difference on a national basis. I want you to share this information. I will definitely be able to get you a link so you can download it and have it to share in your staff meetings and whatever else, however else you can use it. So I want to end with a closing thought before Scott takes us out. I always have a closing caregiver thought, and this one today is start each day with a grateful heart. I have to say that you all have given me a grateful heart to allow me to be here today. So Scott, if you could take us out, I will talk with you later, and thank you so much for being our wonderful co-host.
Oh, it's great to be with all of you. I want to thank our guest today, the executive director at Woodmark at Sun City, Rob Kondos, the sales director, Jennifer Eldridge, and Sandy D'Angelo, who visited us from the Heritage Tradition and shared how that link, that bond, that community, it does take a village, works together to synthesize the very best in dementia awareness. With Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, this is co-host and producer Scott Cluthy. Till then, take care, and do check out the other great episodes of Live with the Dementia Whisperer on our website at Blog Talk Radio. Till then, take care, be kind, and have a great day, everyone. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com and join the Dementia Whisperers newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.